This is Jay Sekulow. The rise of ISIS now becomes the marching of ISIS.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So you suggested that maybe if you find these young men jobs, they might not become terrorists, right?
Well, I think that's a gross oversimplification. We cannot kill every terrorist around the world, nor should we try. How do you get at the root causes of this? It might be too nuanced an argument for some, like I've seen over the past 24 hours, some of the commentary out there, but it's really the smart way that Democrats, Republicans, military commanders, our partners in the Arab world think we need to combat.
So just to be former extremists have the opportunity to speak out, speak the truth about terrorist groups. And oftentimes they can be powerful messengers in debunking these terrorist ideologies. One said, this wasn't what we came for, to kill other Muslims. Those voices have to be amplified.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to do something a little bit different today, and that is we're going to give you an in-depth analysis of the enemy, and that is ISIS. You're not getting it in, certainly from the White House. You're not getting it from the Secretary of State's office. You're not getting it from the Department of Defense. We have written a book on it called The Rise of ISIS, and it's now more of a marching army. That's what we're seeing in Iraq right now. You're certainly seeing that in Syria as well. There is an authorization for use of military force. That authorization really does significantly hamper the ability to eliminate this enemy. And as you're going to hear in just a moment, I'm going to play a bite. The White House is still of this view that we're in a battle for the war against poverty, and that somehow by creating jobs and opportunities, we're going to end what is clearly an ideological-driven war with radical jihadists. This is beyond terrorism. These are jihadist armies, and there's a distinction. Sam Bennett's the director of Office of Governmental Affairs. He's in Washington. He's working, by the way, to get an authorization to use military force to have actual teeth to it and to not bootstrap, so to speak, the next president of the United States, which is what the Obama administration is trying to do here. Sam, what is the latest from Washington on this?
Well, Jay, there's going to be two very important phases to this fight. And to be honest with you, the first one has a great deal of urgency to it, and that is ensuring that this authorization of force proposal that the president has sent to the Hill, Jay, frankly, that it's dead on arrival. There is a lot of pressure from the White House right now to pass this authorization as is. So I can't stress, you know, loudly enough how important it is for our people to support this call to defeat the authorization, because that's where the pressure is at this point. Now, I would say behind that, the second phase to write this new authorization, as you said, Jay, that's going to take some time. But to be honest with you, that phase only matters if we defeat the proposal on the table, because that proposal on the table repeals the existing authorization of force. If we can defeat that proposal, then that existing authorization stays in force. We can draft one with teeth. But to be honest with you right now, Jay, the White House is on the Hill in full force, pressuring them to pass his proposal as is. That's where we've got to focus in right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, folks, and this is the reality of what we're dealing with. This authorization to use the military force that the president has put forward is not only weak, it's incapable of ending this battle and destroying this enemy. It's pure and simple. This is if you're engaging in a war on poverty. That's what the president said. This is an economic issue. That's what Lyndon Johnson said in the 1960s. This isn't that anymore. I've got an op-ed up at FoxNews.com I encourage you to read. But we've got a reality here, and a reality check is that there's authorization for use of military force already in place in a lot of areas that allow for really significant force. This one downscales significantly our ability to engage this enemy. So what I'd like you to do is exactly what Dan said. The White House is up there in full force. We have to meet them on Capitol Hill in full force and defeat this so that we can get an authorization that will work to end and kill and destroy this enemy. Why the White House will say that, you know, we can't just kill this enemy is absurd, but nevertheless, that's what she said. Here's what I need everybody to do. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and sign that defeat the authorization petition today. ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And the idea here is that we will get enough petitions on this. We'll go to all those members of Congress and let them know that the American people, by the way, there's bipartisan support for our position here, do not want an authorization that does not have the ability to defeat and destroy this enemy now known as the jihadist army, ISIS. So again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, available in bookstores everywhere. But again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
The deadly reach of ISIS, the Islamic State, is expanding at a time when radical Islamists ramp up their brutality with the beheadings of 21 Egyptian Christians. President Obama is now trying to force his failed foreign policy on our next president. That's right. The president has sent an authorization for the use of military force to Congress that would restrict our nation's fight against ISIS. Even worse, it would tie the hands of the next president, a flawed strategy that would remain in place even after President Obama leaves office. As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. The current proposal that the White House has out there for the use of military force, their authorization for the use of military force, in our view, is not only insignificant, but as the president said, you can't kill the enemy out of existence, which, by the way, militarily is not correct. That's how you defeat enemies. You destroy them so significantly that they're no longer a fighting force. But nevertheless, we've got to beat them now in Washington, D.C., because the president is pushing hard on Capitol Hill. I want us to be able to combat that. And you can do that by going to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. Now, I brought together our team of experts on the issue of ISIS, the nature of the threat, who they are going after, what is their motivation. Take a listen.
We've assembled our team, the authors of this book that is now a New York Times bestseller, thanks to you. And again, a huge thank you to our audience. The book is now out on paperback, so we're going to encourage you to purchase the book. Buy multiple copies for your friends. You need to understand exactly what this is. The book is a detailed explanation of ISIS, Hamas, and the Middle East. And the reason we draw the connection between ISIS and Hamas is because they are cousins with the same agenda. David French is with me here in our studios at the Oxford Center. Jordan and Skip Ash are in our studios in Washington, D.C. Skip, let me go right to you first. You and I were working on these papers initially as part of our program at Oxford, and the reality is the threat of ISIS grew exponentially while we were on campus at Oxford.
That's exactly right. While we were there studying the entire situation in the Middle East, all of a sudden ISIS rose, and it became an object that everyone's attention was turned to. So we decided that we needed to investigate ISIS, write about it, and we produced a paper during our time there.
And those papers, by the way, were not just on ISIS. It was on Hamas. It was on the Middle East. It was the common connections between these groups. David French is the senior counsel at the ACLJ, also head of our digital advocacy, one of the co-authors of the New York Times bestseller book, A Rise of ISIS. And David, we also wanted to show that there is a connection, not only between these groups, but that ISIS, lethality-wise, is the most dangerous terrorist group we've ever faced.
Well, exactly right. I mean, Hamas and ISIS are fighting in the same jihad, truly, but ISIS has much greater capabilities than Hamas does. ISIS has possesses American weaponry that it's captured from the Iraqi army. And we spell that out in the book in really terrifying detail. It's astonishing what they've been able to accumulate just in the last 6 months.
You know, Jordan, also one of the things that are important for our audience to understand the rise of ISIS is we also focus on Israel, because if you look at the threat factor, Hamas is going after Jews, and clearly ISIS has targeted Christians. And this is a real current threat of significant proportion.
Yeah, I mean, the entire goal of these organizations, whether it's Hamas or ISIS, is to establish these Muslim-dominated societies where there are no minority faiths. So there would be no Christians, there would be no other faith groups, there would be no, in Israel, there would be no Jews left, so the majority Jewish population would be gone. It is all about establishing these dominant new Islamic kingdoms in a very extreme version, radical interpretation of Islam and Sharia law. And so ultimately, to try and divide these groups, as some have tried to do, and say, well, this group believes it wants to do this, and this group wants to believe it wants to do this. They're both Sunni. They're both Sunni majority groups who want to get rid of those who don't agree with their view of this specific religion.
All right, let me take it a step further. We're going to get into this when we come back from the break. But we start the book with a discussion of the horror of jihad. And I'm going to get into this. So what we've done in the book, let me kind of put this in a framework for you. We've taken the real life situation of who ISIS is, where they've gotten their funding from, how dangerous they are, what their tactics are, why are they targeting Christians. We've put all of that together. We've studied Hamas, its origins and its current tactics. We draw the nexus between Hamas and ISIS and the impact it's having on the greater Middle East. But there's something else you need to understand here, and this is why this book, Rise of ISIS, is so timely. There is a real threat to the United States. As we're broadcasting this, as we're recording this program, there are reports right now that ISIS agents or other Middle East terrorist groups have come in through our southern border. So we are putting a petition forward right now to close down our borders to terrorists. I mean, it should even be a non-statement. Why would you even have to say that? But as we're going to get into, there is a real serious problem here. And ISIS tactic is to use Americans, train them in Syria and Iraq, and bring them back to the United States. Because they'll still be carrying, of course, U.S. passports. So we've got a petition that's up at ACLJ.org, or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. This is not just some threat in the Middle East. There are already reports of ISIS agents in the United States. We know, David, for instance, that there are ISIS members trained in Iraq and Syria that are now here back in the United States traveling on U.S. passports.
There is a Democratic representative who just last week said that 40 ISIS terrorists who have American passports are in the United States. Now, he said they're being followed by the FBI. But this is incredibly disturbing. How do we know that there's only 40? How do we know that they're being constantly surveilled? I mean, this is disturbing. We're playing games with American security here.
The whole idea that you're following them, I mean, they should be incarcerated if they took up arms against the enemy. Jordan, in Washington right now, I know there, and we're going to get into who ISIS is in just a moment, there is real concern about ISIS penetration back in the homeland.
Well, that's right. I mean, listen, we know now that there are Americans who have died fighting for ISIS, a number of Americans, and most recently one who was a suicide bomber for ISIS who has made trips back to the United States and then back to the battlefield in the same period of time. So we're talking about people who have gone to battle with ISIS, trained in Syria and Iraq, come back to the United States. They were stopped at the United States when they came back. And you know what they did? They called their mom. And their mom said, oh, no, everything's fine. They were just visiting family in a war zone, by the way. And then they got back on a plane and blew themselves up. And so, I mean, we're talking about not just people who may be coming back to the United States to carry out attacks here. We already know that there are people who have fought, come back, taken a break, and then gone back to the battlefield and blown themselves up as suicide bombers.
The book we put together is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We want everybody that's watching this broadcast to acquire it. There's two things really we're asking you to do today. One is sign our petition. As Jordan just mentioned, we've got these ISIS agents coming back and forth to the United States really with nobody stopping them. And we've got to stop that. So we need real border security on this threat from ISIS and other Middle East terrorist groups. It's that simple. Sign the petition at ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. But we also need you to be educated. Folks, what we do on this broadcast each week is educate you. The book is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We're going to now tell you why you need to not only get the book, but also share it with your friends. So, Skip, let me start with you. Who is ISIS? Where did they originate from? And what is the nature of their organization?
ISIS began as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but it became so violent and was so focused on other Muslims, the Shiites primarily, that even the Al-Qaeda central group rejected it. Then it became ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq. And then it morphed and moved into Syria and became the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. It is the most violent jihadist group that exists in the world today.
ISIS has declared a caliphate. Let's talk about what that means. So we've got in here this the founder of ISIS, if you will, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, now calls himself Caliph Ibrahim. Mm-hmm. This is a very significant move because not only is it the declaration of religious intent, it's also a territorial intent.
Oh, absolutely. What the caliphate is the union of religious and political power in Islam. And that's how the Muslim world was ruled for hundreds of years. And so ever since the fall of the last caliph, when the Ottoman Empire fell, there have been Muslim radicals who've been trying to rebuild the caliphate. And so right now what we have is a man who's declared himself caliph in a country-sized section of the Middle East, northern Syria, northern Iraq, who controls a true army. And so what we have is an incredibly dangerous development in this radical drive, this jihadist drive to recreate the caliphate and the alleged glory days of Islam.
So unlike the situation with Al-Qaeda, which they were hiding in caves, they did not have American weaponry or not a significant amount of American weaponry. We have a situation now with a terrorist group that has a clear religious intent, that is the establishment of a dominant Islam.
Again, folks, those are the four authors of the new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's a New York Times number one bestseller. And if you have not yet read it, you need to get your copy and do it today. You can find it in bookstores everywhere. And folks, as we come to the end of this segment, I want you to stand with us in calling for Capitol Hill to reject this authorization of force that the president has sent forward that would put limitations on our ability to face this threat and to draft a new authorization that would give him the full authority to do whatever it takes to defeat this enemy. The number to join our petition is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org. After this break, more discussion from the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The deadly reach of ISIS, the Islamic State, is expanding. At a time when radical Islamists ramp up their brutality with the beheadings of 21 Egyptian Christians, President Obama is now trying to force his failed foreign policy on our next president. That's right, the president has sent an authorization for the use of military force to Congress that would restrict our nation's fight against ISIS. Even worse, it would tie the hands of the next president, a flawed strategy that would remain in place even after President Obama leaves office. As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We are going to jump right back into this discussion with the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. This is Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Skip Ash, and David French talking about this New York Times number one bestseller that they authored. It's so relevant today, folks, as we face the rising threat of ISIS and we try to help the United States chart a course for its ultimate defeat. It dovetails perfectly with the debate that is happening on Capitol Hill this week and the weeks to follow on what authority the president is going to be granted to face this threat and whether or not the existing authority that he has is going to be repealed. So let's jump right back into this discussion. These are the four authors of the new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
We looked at the research as we were researching this while you were at Oxford as well. We looked at the depth of which Hamas and ISIS have the same idea of establishing, and this is what people need to understand. Again, it's in our book, Rise of ISIS. This is the establishment of an Islamic globe. I mean, it's world domination. It's not regional. It's starting regionally, but it's, as it has been in the past with Islam, it is an intent to go global. That is the intent of the ISIS and certainly of Hamas. And together, right now, it looks like they have about 70,000 troops. If you were to put Hamas and ISIS together, real army. This is not, again, terrorists hiding in a cave, a very different situation.
That's right. You know, I think that's why we say in the book, it's Rise of ISIS. It's not terrorists we can't ignore. It's a threat we can't ignore. And if it was, you know, terrorism, if it was an affiliate of a group governing, like the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban situation, where Al-Qaeda would kind of hide in the cave and the Taliban would give them some safe haven. And ultimately, you know, as the Taliban went, so went Al-Qaeda. Though the Taliban has made somewhat of a comeback in Afghanistan, as we get closer to withdrawal there, and there's certainly a question there about the vacuum that could create, again, being a hotbed of terrorism. The difference here is that ISIS is establishing a full-on ground force. They're not necessarily using just weapons from the Cold War that were left over in the mountains of Afghanistan. They've got, you know, we were just in Iraq, and I mean, they've got about a quarter of their fighters are coming in from other countries, or up to a third of their fighters. So they're not just recruiting in the war zones of Syria and Iraq, where things are bad. They're recruiting in places like Western Europe and here in the United States. And so this is different than a handful of terrorists who want to carry out, again, very brutal, violent terror attacks against the United States or the Western world. ISIS has got that component, but they also have the ground forces. So they're, at the same time, taking over villages and towns, wiping out entire Christian populations, taking women as slaves and kids as slaves, and killing all of the men and even young boys.
Now, David, you served as a captain at the time. You're a major now in the United States Army, as a judge advocate general in Iraq. Let's talk about the nature of the brutality. The first chapter of the book, Rise of ISIS, starts with a chilling story, and that is the story of the left calling card, if you will, when you went into a village and what you saw. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, what people need to realize is all of these tactics that we're seeing, this incredible brutality, it's not new. This is what was happening in Iraq. And I begin the book with the story of us discovering a DVD in an abandoned village. And the question was, what happened to all of the people? And the Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which was, you know, that's ISIS, the precursor of ISIS, they had left behind a DVD for us to find.
And that was their calling card.
That was their calling card. They would leave these telltale clues to show us what they were capable of. We played the DVD, and it was a DVD of them decapitating every member of a village and showing it close up. I mean, that's how depraved these people are.
You know, when we talk about the beheadings, and David, it's in the book, and it's a gruesome detail, but we've got some, we wanted to start with the reality of what we're dealing with. So when you buy Rise of ISIS, you're going to understand exactly the nature of this. By the way, we look at those beheadings and we're horrified. We're horrified for the families. We're horrified for the people that were involved. We're horrified for the society and culture. But let me tell you something. For ISIS, it's a recruiting tool. So while the West is horrified at this, ISIS is using this as their great recruiting tool, right, David?
Oh, that's exactly right. This is something that for a certain kind of jihadist mindset, that says they're strong enough and they're defiant enough to carry the black banner of jihadist Islam, and people flock to that black banner when they see those beheading videos. It is sick and depraved, but we have to wake up to the facts.
Skip, what is the goal? Let's be clear here. The goal of ISIS.
The goal of ISIS is to create, right now in the region, an Islamic state, this caliphate, this idea where you don't have state boundaries anymore. You now have an Islamic state that arises. And their goal is to expand and expand that, to recapture any territory that was taken back from the Muslims that they had at one time, Israel being an example, Spain being another example. They want to go back and win back the territory that had been under Muslim control at one time. And then they want to expand out because their ultimate goal is, as to have an entire world in submission to Allah under Islam and to apply Sharia law.
Let me start with a very practical story here. David talked about the one that he experienced as a soldier in Iraq that's in chapter one of our book. There's another aspect of a personal story that Jordan experienced while in Israel during Operation Cast Lead. Jordan, share that if you will.
The moment we landed in Israel was actually when Operation Cast Lead began. And it was in 2008, we were actually landing because of an issue of religious persecution, and we were helping a family that was, and we've talked about this these broadcasts before, that the father had been killed in the Gaza Strip by Hamas. Family needed to get out. So we weren't there to go cover the war. We're not war reporters. But it ended up happening at the same time. The same time the family was able to leave the Gaza Strip was just within the same 24 hours that the war began. And so when we were in Israel, and of course working in places like the West Bank while the war was ongoing, you were doing meetings with some of the top Israeli officials at bunkers. And so because of the rockets that were coming in being fired from Hamas, this was before the Iron Dome was fully in place. So you've got a situation where rockets would literally rain down in a very different way than we see in Israel now in the current kind of conflicts and this current kind of rockets. And so in one of the meetings, when you were meeting with the president of Israel, we weren't all allowed into the bunker because that bunker had been secured. And we were in an area where there were rockets coming in. Basically, every hour there'd be multiple rocket barrages. It happened while we were there. And this one we had to run. We were exposed, so we were in a van in kind of a field area. And since we could not go into that one bunker, we were literally kind of running into like an abandoned kind of building looks. I mean, it kind of seems like a movie set. And the rocket hit about, you know, 75 yards away from where we were. We talked about the idea that sometimes these groups like Al-Qaeda have extreme amounts of patience. They wait decades between major attacks and years between major attacks. These groups like Hamas and the Islamic State, they don't have that kind of patience. They are rolling through the Middle East as we speak. So Hamas has got this kind of base of support to go after the ultimate evil in the region to them, which is Israel. And then you've got the Islamic State who's saying, okay, we'll take over the rest. We'll handle all of the rest of this Middle East area. And they're not waiting. They're not holding back and saying attack and then run to our cave. They're saying carry on. We'll push forward. We'll again, we're taking in significant millions of dollars in resources a day. This is a new kind of threat.
Folks, again, the book is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can find it in bookstores everywhere. You really need to read it today to educate yourself about the history and the nature and the motivation of the threat that we are facing in ISIS. It's especially relevant as the next couple of weeks, Capitol Hill is going to be debating how the president should face that threat head on. If you have not yet signed our petition asking Congress to reject any limitations on combating this threat and instead to grant the president the authority that he needs to adjust to whatever may happen on the ground and to ultimately defeat this enemy, I want you to add your name to our petition. The number to do it is 877-989-2255. You can also sign online at aclj.org. But as we go to a break, you go to your phones, 877-989-2255, or sign online at aclj.org.
As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I said yesterday on air that the president is viewing this war with ISIS as a war on poverty. I've got a piece of it at FoxNews.com dealing exactly with that point. And this is the wrong approach to take. But the president doubled down on this yesterday in a speech. Take a listen.
We must address the grievances that terrorists exploit, including economic grievances. Poverty alone does not cause a person to become a terrorist any more than poverty alone causes someone to become a criminal. But when people, especially young people, feel entirely trapped in impoverished communities, that feeds instability and makes those communities ripe for extremist recruitment. So if we're serious about countering violent extremism, we have to get serious about confronting these economic grievances.
Well, first of all, why are we, that's not our economy, number one, Mr. President. Number two, most of the leadership, certainly the leadership, and many of the troops from ISIS are educated. Some of them educated in the United States or Great Britain or France. So this is just not true. That's number one. Number two, Than, the reality is the president is, again, it sounds like a war on poverty speech. And the fact of the matter is, that this is the kind of approach that really gets you in trouble.
This is so much more than rhetoric, Jay. I mean, words always matter. But in this case, we are talking about the words that are going to make up the authorization of force. They are going to guide how we combat this enemy. For the president to continue talking about it being a war on poverty or a poor economic conditions around the world, or to say that these violent Islamic extremists have legitimate grievances, Jay, it is hindering our ability to combat that threat. And I just want to stress again for our listeners, it is not just hindering our ability while he is the commander-in-chief. It would hinder the ability of the next commander-in-chief to combat this enemy. So if the American people go to the polls and they elect a president that wants to take this enemy head-on, they are going to be bootstrapped by the language that this authorization of force passes until a new one can come into place. So we've got to understand the ramifications of the debate that Congress is going to have over the next few weeks have sweeping implications.
I mean, huge. When it stands right, I'm going to underscore this, folks. This means that the next president of the United States is exactly that, could be basically bootstrapped into a foreign policy position based on the previous administration, President Obama's administration. So whoever the next president is stuck with until it gets changed, a new authorization. The problem with that is you got to go back through Congress and it takes time. And we don't have that kind of time. Frankly, we don't have 18 months, which is what's left basically in the president's administration, to get done what we need to get done here. So I think the reality is we have no choice but to defeat this authorization for use of military force head on. Do it. We've got wide bipartisan support on this. We got certainly have the Democrats and Republicans. And then we need to propose one, which is already in the works, that actually will allow us to defeat this enemy. Coming up in the next segments of the broadcast, we're bringing in our panel of experts on ISIS. We really want to get you educated on ISIS again. We talked about this last summer because we had the book that just came out called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. That book, by the way, is still available in bookstores everywhere. And we're encouraging you today to buy it. And study it and get it for your friends. You can get it as an ebook on your Kindle or whatever, a Book Nook, if you use the device that is put forward by the folks at Barnes & Noble, but obviously Kindle for Amazon. And the book is available at bookstores everywhere, but certainly on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I encourage you to get the book Rise of ISIS. Important for you to understand and engage this issue. Again, if you want to sign on to this petition, it's a great way to do it. Than's going to let you know the number to call right now, or to go to the website, but we really need you on this because time is of the essence.
Folks, the White House has already been to the Hill. They have briefed the Capitol Hill staffers, members, senators on this authorization of force. There is a great deal of opposition, but folks, I'm here to tell you, the White House is going to be pressuring Capitol Hill to pass this authorization. They're going to say that their ability to fight back against ISIS depends on them passing this legislation. We need to show that the American people understand the arguments here. Despite what the State Department may be saying, they aren't too nuanced for us. We understand that we are facing an enemy that wants to kill us, that wants to kill Christians, Jews, and Muslims that don't agree with them. Folks, we need to arm them to defeat this authorization, leave the existing one in place, and then draft a new one that gives the president the tools to actually defeat this enemy, not to contain it, but to defeat it, folks. If you want to join us in that call, the number to do it is 877-989-2255. You can also sign online at aclj.org. Folks, this debate is going to take place in the next 2 weeks on Capitol Hill. We need you to stand with us. We're going to have to sustain that effort as we draft a new authorization. But to defeat the president's proposal, we need your momentum behind us now. 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org.
The deadly reach of ISIS, the Islamic State, is expanding at a time when radical Islamists ramp up their brutality with the beheadings of 21 Egyptian Christians. President Obama is now trying to force his failed foreign policy on our next president. That's right. The president has sent an authorization for the use of military force to Congress that would restrict our nation's fight against ISIS. Even worse, it would tie the hands of the next president, a flawed strategy that would remain in place even after President Obama leaves office. As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. In just a moment, I am going to jump back into this interview that the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, did just a few weeks ago talking about their new book. But folks, before we do it, let's just reset the stage for the debate that is currently taking place. This administration believes that we can defeat this threat from the Islamic State, from ISIS, by addressing a war on poverty that may be happening in other countries in the world. Folks, they don't understand the nature of the threat we are facing, and we're talking about more than words here. We want to stress this again. The words that we are talking about are going to make up the authorization of force that the president conducts this war under. So it is very important that we get them right, that we name the enemy accurately, that we identify the motivation that inspires them to go to war and inspires them to want to kill us, and then that we give the president, the commander-in-chief, the authority to adjust to the situations on the ground, to adjust his strategies in order to defeat this enemy. It is important that we get this authorization right. And if you want to stand with us in that effort, the number to add your name to the petition is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org. I want to get right back into this discussion. This is Jay Sekulo, Jordan Sekulo, Skip Ash, and David French, the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. If you don't yet have your copy of the book, you can get it at bookstores everywhere or online as well. Let's jump right back into this discussion. Again, the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
You know, David, I want to follow up on that. And then, Skip, I've got a question on the law of war issue here and violations of the law of war. But let's talk about what Jordan just said, which I think people need to understand. And that's, again, why we wrote the book Rise of ISIS, is to understand this kind of convergence that's taking place in the Middle East. You have coming from the West towards the East, if you will, you've got the Islamic State. They're going, you look at Iraq, Syria, Turkey. They're going to go towards Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, of course, already. And then you've got Hamas coming in from the west towards Israel. And there's this great confluence about to happen. But the goal here is this is kind of, as Jordan said, this is not the sit back patience, we'll strike in 10 years and then maybe take another 10 years till we strike again. This is really an ongoing military conflict. Unfortunately, we're not handling it like one, but that's what it is.
Well, jihadists take advantage of weakness. That is what they do. And rarely has the United States been more weak in the Middle East than it is right now. So even though we are doing airstrikes, ISIS is still on the move. ISIS is still on the march. So they're constantly probing the areas of weakness. And when they find an area, they strike and they strike hard. That's why you see them still expanding. They're 8 miles from Baghdad, eight miles from the center of Iraq.
Yeah.
That is hard to believe.
So, Skip, we talk about this. We'll get into it more in the next broadcast. But let's talk about the fact that you've got these international organizations like the UN constantly criticizing Israel, yet it is Hamas and ISIS that completely disregard the laws of armed conflict. They could care less, but Israel's always the focus of the attention.
Israel does everything it can to comply with every aspect of the law of armed conflict. And they're fighting against enemies that do everything they can to violate it. For instance, one of the major things about the law of armed conflict is to protect civilians. But Hamas and ISIS go after civilians. You may never lawfully target a civilian as a civilian. They may be killed because of a military action against a legitimate target, but you can never target civilians per se. That's exactly what Hamas does. That's exactly what ISIS is doing. So you have a situation where these people are putting civilians at risk intentionally. Not only they fire Israeli civilians intentionally, but they also put their own civilians at risk by hiding behind them, using them as human shields.
Let me read something from our book. This is chapter 2 of our book, Rise of ISIS. It's called The Rise of ISIS and the New Caliphate. This is an example of what David was talking about, of what these groups like ISIS do. A packed explosive in a small boy's backpack without his knowledge and detonated the backpack while he was wearing it at a family wedding. These are documented cases. Put explosives inside the tubing of a child's bicycle and detonated after the child rode into a local market. Shot a 7-week-old baby in the face in front of the baby's mother as, quote, a warning, end quote, against collaborating with American forces. Raped women and then told them the only way to redeem their honor was to blow themselves up as suicide bombers. Use those female suicide bombers who wouldn't be stopped and frisked because of cultural and religious prohibitions against male police officers touching women to blow up restaurants, hospitals, and open-air markets. Fake surrenders inside of mosques and use the cover of the mosque to ambush soldiers. Put bombs on handicapped children, knowing that American soldiers showed particular compassion for mentally handicapped or physically impaired kids. Killed entire villages for the crime of resisting Sharia law or allegedly cooperating with the Iraqi government. Thus is the case against the groups like ISIS, the Islamic State. And folks, we want you educated, informed. You are briefed on these issues as you watch our broadcast each week and listen to us on radio. But now's a way to get educated in a deeper way. The book is called Rise of ISIS. It's available in bookstores around the country. And I encourage you to get that book. Buy multiple copies. Get it to your friends. We want to get it on the New York Times bestsellers list to get the attention of those in leadership that also need to understand it. But we, as Christians, need to understand what's at stake for our own country, and of course, what's at stake for the greater Middle East. We call ISIS in chapter 3 the world's most ruthless and powerful jihadist army. David, you served in Iraq. You have faced jihadist army. That's a bold statement we're making. Let's back this up now with the evidence.
Absolutely. What happened last summer is ISIS crossed the border into Iraq and then immediately routed two full divisions, according to some reports, two full divisions of Iraqi army troops that were equipped with American weaponry. They immediately captured all of that weaponry, which included up-armored Humvees, which included artillery, which included even tanks. So all of a sudden, ISIS went from a conventionally armed jihadist army to a jihadist army armed with some of the most advanced weaponry in the world.
Skip, does that make ISIS different than Al-Qaeda?
It does make ISIS different from Al-Qaeda. Although Al-Qaeda used some sophisticated items in their fight, they had nothing like a traditional army. We have now an army in the Islamic State, this ISIS army, that has the traditional equipment. You know, the United States equipment is among the best equipment in the world. The tanks are the best in the world. This is a group that has worldwide ambitions and is now gaining the ability to carry out those ambitions.
Jordan, in our upcoming program at Oxford, we're at the Oxford Center for Law and Study of Law and Public Policy studio here. But when we're back at Oxford, we're going to be talking about Turkey. Turkey's a NATO member, yet so far has really done little, if anything. In fact, there are some reports that Turkey may be actually moving the oil that ISIS now controls on the black market.
Well, we know that ISIS is using Turkey to move that oil. That's how they're able to at least take in a minimum of $1 million a day. And some estimate their budget upwards of the millions, maybe even $6 million on a good day. And this is before the airstrikes began, when they were really doing as they pleased. But the oil source, I mean, that's, again, a significant part of their budget. It's a long-established black market in Turkey, and they're able to use these small amounts. You know, I mean, we're talking about $1 million worth of oil. It's a large amount for a terror organization. It's not a large amount when you're talking about the worldwide oil trade and that black market. So Turkey being somewhat complicit in that, they've even, you know, said in these reports that when it comes to oil prices in these places, it may be that you're taking and even supporting your enemy, but because it brings the price down so significantly, it's worth doing that.
Well, we've got a lot more ahead to cover. We're talking about our book, The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. This is a very special broadcast from our studios here at the Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. That's where these papers originated that became the book. The book is really a must read. It's a New York Times bestseller. We want to make sure you have access to it. So it's available now in bookstores around the country in paperback, and we're encouraging you to acquire multiple copies. Of course, you can order it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble as well, or wherever, literally, wherever books are sold, they should have Rise of ISIS. And get copies for your friends as well. Very readable, but very real. Tells you who ISIS is, what the threats are, their links to Hamas, and what we can do to stop it.
Again, folks, those were the four authors of the new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. If you haven't read it yet, folks, you really need to do it. You need to do it so that you are personally educated on the fight that the United States of America is facing. It is really going to be incumbent on us to insist that the Congress force the president's hand on this. And by forcing the president's hand, it will really be giving him all of the authority that he needs to fully combat this threat. We are calling on them to pass an authorization of force that does just that. The number to sign that petition is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org. After this break, we're actually going to discuss this authorization of force a little bit more fully. Now that you've heard the discussion about the book Rise of ISIS, we're going to talk about the debate that's going to take place on Capitol Hill and why there is such an urgency to make sure that the president's request for an authorization is rejected and that one that actually has teeth is passed in its place. That will be after this break. But if you want to add your name to this petition, I want you to do it at 877-989-2255. And of course, you can sign online as well at aclj.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The deadly reach of ISIS, the Islamic State, is expanding. At a time when radical Islamists ramp up their brutality with the beheadings of 21 Egyptian Christians, President Obama is now trying to force his failed foreign policy on our next president. That's right, the president has sent an authorization for the use of military force to Congress that would restrict our nation's fight against ISIS. Even worse, it would tie the hands of the next president, a flawed strategy that would remain in place even after President Obama leaves office. As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are approaching 80,000 or a little over 80,000 signatures on our petition. We want to defeat this authorization to use of military force and substitute one that actually allows us to do exactly what the title says, use military force. The president's approaching this as if this is the war on poverty. That's why he's having his State Department and his White House staff make these statements about this is all about poverty and the lack of job opportunities. And words matter here. So, again, we want you to sign that petition at aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Words do matter. Listen to this conversation between this question from Ed Henry on Fox News and Charles Krautheimer, number four.
Language matter here?
Of course it does. It defines the conflict. I mean, Churchill won, saved England and civilization because in 1940 he was able to enlist the English language and he put it to work on behalf of civilization. What this administration is doing is precisely the opposite. It's sort of deconstructing any resistance with its refusal to acknowledge the obvious.
And in not acknowledging the obvious and trying to recast this, which is what they are, they're recasting this as a fight for social justice. The president, in the statements he's issuing, is actually saying he understands, almost as if he understands the mindset of why the terrorists are doing this. That sense of legitimacy is absolutely, positively outrageous, Jordan, that the president would even be thinking this, let alone saying it.
Well, that's right. And obviously we're getting a more of a look into their mindset here, what they think is the driving factor. They don't think it's ideology or the religious language. And, of course, you know, we know from the actual what has happened, whether it's the widespread destruction of Christian churches in Iraq and Syria, whether it's the targeted killing of Christians, and most recently 21 who are their necks are sliced, their throats slit on the beach of Libya and thrown into the water, used for recruitment videos. They end the video with next will be in Rome. You can't use any more religious symbolism and religious language than they are doing. And the problem is, it's not even with the airstrikes, and even though it may be true that most Muslims are not going to take up arms with ISIS, the president does acknowledge in the op-ed even that he wrote that there's a problem with people who are doing recruitment and the leadership structures. And that is, again, what we're talking about here, is that this is more widespread than the people who ultimately go over to Iraq and Syria through various places. It's also about the people who are sending them there and the ideology that's driving them. Yet they will not acknowledge exactly what that ideology is. And let me tell you something. It is not a social justice program of economic empowerment.
Let me take it a step further than what Jordan said. Here's the president's own words. I'm going to read this to you. This is out of his op-ed. Okay, governments that deny human rights play into the hands of extremists who claim that violence is the only way to achieve change. Now listen to this. Efforts to counter violent extremism will only succeed if citizens can address legitimate grievances through the democratic process and express themselves through strong civil societies. Now, listen to what the president, understand what the president of the United States just said in these words. Efforts to counter violent extremism will only succeed if citizens can address legitimate grievances through the democratic process. The terrorists in Iraq, in the ISIS terrorists in Syria and Iraq, and now moving into Jordan and other places, the reason they're doing this is because they cannot, ready for this, address legitimate grievances through this democratic process. Meanwhile, they had millions of people in the squares of Tahrir Square, and what ended up happening through the, quote, democratic process, so-called? They elected Mohammed Morsi, the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, who then the Egyptian people throughout. So the president is living in a dreamland. It's just the problem is it's not a reality world. And the moment that we take our eye off the ball is the American people and say, you know what, well, he's the president of the United States, maybe he knows something we don't. Here's the answer to that. No, he doesn't. This is information that's out there. This is a narrative, people. Understand what this is. The reason we're talking with this kind of enthusiasm and energy today is we really believe we're on a tipping point.
And this president is trying to hamstring the next president of the United States with this authorization of saying what we're not going to do. We're going to defeat our enemy by not doing something. And that's really what we have to focus in on Capitol Hill. And Dan, this is where it goes back to your team. We have got to get, and I know we're getting bipartisan support here, but we have to keep this enthusiasm to defeat this up, which, by the way, we've had a great response so far, because the reality is this could be devastating. We're turning a war with terrorists into a war on poverty, and that is a huge mistake that will affect my children, my grandchildren, and everybody that's listening to us as well.
Yeah, and now is the moment to really focus that resolve, Jay. I mean, you talked about the president saying that the terrorist groups have, quote, legitimate grievances. Remember, it was just last week that he was saying he didn't want to overinflate their sense of self-importance. So he's just all over the board on this. And Jay, one of the things that we're telling Capitol Hill as they debate this authorization is they have to understand that this appeasement approach from this administration goes beyond ignorance. This is not ignorance. It is an intentional strategy rooted in the belief that we've got to level the playing field between the United States and the terrorist groups. That is the only way that they will stop killing us, and instead they'll start liking us. Jay, that will not work. It has proven to not work over the last several decades. We think that the Congress should stand behind Adam Kinzinger's authorization that gives the president full authority. And by the way, like you said, that is something that Democrats are starting to line behind. Tulsi Gabbard has said she likes that approach. We think Congress should send that authorization back to the president, and it's of critical importance that they do it quickly.
Jordan, you have to work with the State Department on the bright. Why are they doing this? What is the narrative? I mean, I think I know what the narrative is, and that is this is the social justice thing. But why are they insisting on this in the face of the evil and the growing nature of ISIS?
Well, you know, it's bizarre. They are looking at it through liberal political backgrounds, and economic empowerment, more government programs, and more handouts. And if we do that, then if we empower these people, they suddenly will not hate us, and they'll all want to go right to work. Think about what happened in Iraq. We got rid of Saddam Hussein, this horrendous dictatorship, to allow more of an open and free market. In Afghanistan, we took out the Taliban, and again, to allow a more open and free market, women could go to school. And yet these groups still thrive. They thrive when we pull out militarily too early, not because we haven't spent enough money. It's always part of the strategy when you go into conflict to try and do some rebuilding along the way. But that's not the main goal, especially at this point in the fight against ISIS. The fight against ISIS right now is to take them down to a point where you can even freely move and people could freely move in the territories formerly held by them. And while some fighting still continues, we're at a point where they are basically going along as they please. And you know, I don't think this is an issue where if you were to take out, you know, even their top leadership, whether it's Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi or another couple of commanders, that it suddenly falls apart. And this is different, but it's more of a full-on movement, and people are joining up rapidly, even though the U.S. bombs continue to drop.
Well, folks, this is what we need you to do as we close this segment of the broadcast out. First, get our book, Rise of ISIS. Make sure your friends have it. Study it. Understand the nature of ISIS, Hamas, what they're doing, how they're violating international law. The book Rise of ISIS still selling very well because we're educating people on that. We encourage you to do that. Everybody else that's listening to me right now, if you've not signed on to this petition, fighting this authorization of military force, the authorization that the president has put forward, and we're going to support these others that actually allow for military force, we need you to add your name right now. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we don't have a moment to lose here. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And don't forget Rise of ISIS, available in bookstores everywhere.
As ISIS keeps advancing, now is not the time to tie our hands. The ACLJ is mobilizing our resources on Capitol Hill to send a clear message. Say no to President Obama's failed policies. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.